Church. It's great to be with you this morning. I think this is the first time I've been here. I've been in the Brethren Christ Church for many years. I've been here to the church a number of times, but I think it's the first time I've been at a worship service with you. So thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here. It's great to be a network of supporting congregations like the Brethren Christ. And I just want to say you guys are very, very fortunate to have Marlon and Ruth Ressler as part of your congregation. Yeah. They're wonderful, wonderful people. So it's you know, I thought I got to be really comfortable with their support here and preaching. You know, this is going to be a piece of cake, right? So as I was reflecting on our time together this morning, I was just thinking, went back to 1 Peter. And I'm going to be here today and next week. So if you have a chance, just read through the book of 1 Peter. It's a great book. And 1 Peter, really the theme of it is he's talking to people who have been scattered abroad. I mean, they experienced all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trials, and they were basically people who lived in Jerusalem, and then, whammo, they got persecuted, and then Rome came in, and they had to leave. You know, we experienced the pandemic, right? And we understand what isolation means and so forth, but these people were scattered around. They had to go to places where it was different culture, different language, different values. And Peter writes to them this letter, and he talks to them about how to experience, go through different trials and difficulties. And so I think this is a good passage for us to look at. I just want to read one verse before we actually read the text this morning. But in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, "For a little while you may have had to suffer all kinds of trials." And I thought, wow, as a writer, he's saying, you know, you're going to experience all kinds. I mean, that sort of covers everything, right? You're going to have family problems. You're going to have maybe issues at your work. You're going to have maybe in school, all kinds of places, and different kinds of trial. But what he's saying, if you look at the theme of the book, he's basically saying you're going to have all kinds of problems, but because of the grace of God, you're going to come out better. You're going to come out greater, not lesser. That all the trials, all the difficulties are not going to create, you know, send you into darkness. God is at work in your life. God is at work in your church. God's at work in your community. You may not see it, you may not be aware of it, but God is coming. God is at work. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. And I want to read the first Peter 1 through 12, 12 verses. So if you have your Bibles, open that up. And while you're doing that, I just want to give you one example in my life of how God's been working through the pandemic. You know, when the pandemic happened, every church, most churches shut down. And the same thing happened for our churches in Japan. Winnie and I were missionaries in Japan, you know, a long time ago. I don't even want to tell you how long time ago it was. But I talked to one of the pastors there, and he was saying, oh, everything's shut down. And I said, okay, why don't we start a Zoom worship service? Now, I've never done anything like that before, but Zoom's a wonderful little instrument. And so we started just a very simple service. It's our Saturday night here. It's their Sunday morning. And we had people in Japan connecting. Now, our churches in Japan are scattered out, so there's some like in Tokyo and then 500, 600 miles away. and some in the middle. So we had, you know, probably about 10% of people who attend the Brother in Christ Church connecting in Japan on our little Zoom meeting. And it was interesting what happened. We had people sharing their testimonies, and somebody like way down south and somebody in Tokyo would say, well, I've known you for 30 years, but I never heard your testimony. And we had people from the U.S. who've never been to Japan was sharing with the church in Japan, and they were getting to meet brothers and sisters from here in the States. And so what was meant for isolation really became a way for us to connect in greater ways. And 2 weeks ago, we had people from Thailand, South Korea, the West Coast, the U.S., East Coast, Mid-America. I mean, it's just amazing what God can do. And so instead of isolation, we had greater connection. And I just want to give that as an example of what God can do despite the circumstances. Okay, I want to read first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah, the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Now, that's a lot in those 12 verses, and you can relax because I'm going to only use one little phrase this morning. And it's that phrase that grace is coming to you. Now, I just want you to grasp that this morning, that grace is coming to you. And in the passage, he says, well, you may not have ever seen Jesus. You don't see Jesus now, but you believe. And the faith community are people who believe God. And I just want to share with you this morning that grace is coming. You may not sense it. You may not feel it. You look around, maybe you're going through all kinds of trials and difficulties, and you say, well, I don't quite get this. Where's the grace? Well, hang on, because I want to show you here in the passage and also share some stories with you that grace is coming to you. Now, I think probably the first thing we should do is just make sure we have a good understanding of what grace is. Okay? Wendy and I do a small group, and Friday night we were together, and I said to the group, well, where would you like to see more of God's grace in your life? And there's an engineer in the group, and he goes, well, first of all, can we define grace? So, okay, what is grace? Well, the simplest definition is that grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. In other words, you get something that you don't deserve. Okay? Let me tell you a little story. Just tell you a little bit about me. I'm not always this bad, but it's pretty bad. A few years ago, my wife and I were, we bought a house that needed fixed up. And so we were going through several projects, and I'm not really great at construction, but and when it comes to plumbing, I don't do that at all. In fact, I can mess it up better than fix it. And so when we were putting the bathroom in, we hired a plumber. And we went down to Lowe's, and we picked out a vanity that we needed, but I didn't have a way to bring it back to the house, so we were trying to solve that. And I was sitting in the office one day, and the plumber called up, and he says, I need that vanity in an hour. And I'm thinking, that may fit in my car. So I went down to Lowe's, bought this thing, brought it out to the parking lot, and, you know, I just couldn't put that in my car for anything. It just wouldn't fit. It was close, but it wouldn't fit. And I'm standing here thinking, the plumber needs it an hour. I've already paid for it. I'm in the parking lot, no way to take care of it. What am I going to do? About that time, a guy walks up, and he says, I have a pickup. I'll go get it and bring it up, and I'll solve your problem. And I'm thinking, I don't know this guy. I'm going to put my vanity on his pickup, and I don't know where he's going to go with it. So he comes up, and we put my vanity on his pickup. He turns to me, he says, the keys are in the truck. Whenever you bring it back, put it in an employee parking lot and take the keys into the service desk. And he walked away. Now, I didn't know his name. He didn't know my name. I mean, that's just pure grace, right? I got something which I didn't deserve. Well, I think that's what God does to us. God gives us what we don't deserve. But there's one little aspect of grace that's different that I want to show you, and that is this. Grace comes to us at Christ's expense. Our relationship with God was blocked, and we needed somehow for that relationship to be cleared. And so Christ died on the cross that would open up our relationship with God. And because of that, God's unmerited favor comes to us. It comes to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you and I are able to have grace operating in our life. And the Bible says to us that grace is coming to us. Now, if you look at the text and say, well, I'm not sure where you're getting that. Let me just give you a little clue. If you will, you don't have to read the whole New Testament, but at the beginning of almost every letter or epistle in the New Testament, the writer says, grace and peace to you. In other words, grace and peace are coming to you. They're there in your life. And I just want you to know this morning, no matter where you are in your Christian walk, what's happened in your life, I can say this to you. Grace is coming to you. Now, I want to say something else, and that is that grace is always coming to us. Grace is always coming to us. And you think, well, it comes every once in a while. No, Grace is always coming to us. This morning, you may not be aware of this, but in the church calendar, this is Reformation Sunday. It's a Sunday that we remember the beginning of the Reformation. And you probably heard the name Martin Luther, right? He was the guy who had an experience of grace, is exactly what happened to him. He was a good Catholic. Martin Luther read his Bible, he prayed, he was a priest, he went to confession, he conducted confession, he was teaching in his school. He was just a good Catholic. But inside, something was missing. And he didn't know what it was. And he was reading his Bible, and he came to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. I'll just read it for you. It says, "Now the righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law. From faith to faith it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Luther all of a sudden understood this. It's not what I do. It's not me being righteous. It's not me working really hard, trying to earn this. But he says, it's a gift from God. I have to receive it. I have to open up myself. I have to receive what God is sending me and live from faith to faith. And that totally changed his life. And as you know, it changed the world as well. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp this idea that it's not something we earn, but it's something we receive. Grace is always coming to us, and we just have to open ourselves to receive it. There was a Sunday school teacher attempting to share this with her class, and she was trying to teach her kids that grace has to be received. It's not something you earn. So she said to her class, if I sell my house and sell my car and give all the money to the church, will that get me into heaven? And her children said, no, that won't get you to heaven. She says, if I come to church and I clean the church and I mow the grass and I work really hard at church, will that get me into heaven? And her kid said, no. And then she looked at Johnny and said, Johnny, how do people get into heaven? And Johnny said, they have to die first. Look, grace comes to us all the time, always coming to us. So I want us this morning to recognize that grace is always, you may not see it, but just believe it, that God is always at work. Next week we're going to talk about growing in grace, and just to recognize that there's more grace than what you've currently experienced. The reason you're here this morning is because you've had some grace happen in your life, but there's more. There's more for you. Now, I want to go on and say grace is coming to you. It's always coming to you, but grace is coming to you for your good. In other words, God is always good. In our society, it's really difficult for people to grasp this idea that God is good. If you talk to the average non-believer, they would say, well, God's condemning, God's judgmental, God's all these things. But you know, over and over in the scripture, the Bible says God is good. Over 200 times in scripture, the Bible is saying, actually, I think it's 196, but you can check it out if you like. God is good. In fact, Jesus says that God alone is good. He says no one's good except God. And God is good. He's always coming to us, but he's always coming to us for our good. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself and my own experience of receiving grace, the grace of salvation. I grew up in a brother in Christ home, but I thought my parents were crazy. I mean, they would, you know, when they had major decisions to make, they would pray and they would say they heard God telling them to do this or God telling them to do that. And I go, you can't hear God, that's crazy. And I just, you know, so pretty much rejected Jesus and the church. And when I turned 18, it just so happened there was a war on. Seems like there's always wars on, right? but anyway, I was drafted. This is back in ancient times when they still had a draft. And I was drafted, and when I went, I think it must have been unique. They were really at a hard time, sort of like Putin's having a hard time to get troops. When I went to the military, they gave me a choice. I mean, it doesn't happen. They said, you can go to boot camp in Illinois or boot camp in San Diego. And I go, San Diego. My only thought was this. San Diego is farther away from my parents than Illinois. I don't want to be like my parents. So that's a dangerous thought to have. Anyway, but I got to San Diego and I was in boot camp and we had this weapons course where it's a safety course. You know, if you're in the military, you shouldn't shoot yourself, right? So they were teaching a safety of weapon. The guy walks in, who's the instructor, and he lifts up an M1 rifle above his head and he says, this weapon was made for one thing and one thing only, and that's to kill. Immediately when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and life abundant. I mean, I was just shocked. I'm standing here in this weapons course, and God just talked to me. I knew it. I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I was, and in fact, I didn't process that. The whole way through boot camp, I was just trying to get out of there. But in the back of my mind, I knew that God had spoken to me. And I'm going, I spent all my life telling my parents that God doesn't speak. And now I'm here, and God speaks to me. Well, I was from San Diego. They sent me to San Francisco. This was the 1970s. And 1970, San Francisco was the place to be. Everybody wanted to go to San Francisco. Nobody wants to go there today because the rent's too high. But anyway, they sent me to San Francisco. I was on a base at Treasure Island. It's between San Francisco and Oakland, California. You have to go across the Bay Bridge, and there's an island there. And I was there. And we'd go over to San Francisco. And the only way to get back was through the bus. You had to go through the bus station. And late at night, I'd go to the bus station, and there'd be all these people strung out with drugs at the bus station. And I would look at them, and I go, I do not want to be like that. Now, I don't want to be like my parents, but I don't want to be like this either. And so one night, November 13th, 1970, my friend Calvin came to me and said, Ray, says, hey, I've got some contacts in North Point, San Francisco. We can go and get some drugs, bring them back, and sell them to the base. Would you go with me? And I go, no, I don't want to do that. And he says, come on. I just want to make some money. I said, no, I don't want to do it. Well, why don't you? Now, I'm not a fast-thinking kind of guy. All I could think of was, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. So I said to him, Calvin, I'm a Christian, I don't do drugs. Calvin looked at me, he says, Huck, you are not a Christian. Now, I knew Calvin, and I knew Calvin wasn't a Christian, so I said, Calvin, how do you know I'm not a Christian? I mean, you're not a Christian. He goes, yes, but my father is a pastor, and you're nothing like him. And man, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And I said, well, Calvin, you go. I'm going to stay here And I got out my Bible, and there on that Friday night, all by myself in this barracks, I'm reading through the Bible. I start with John, and I come to John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and life abundant. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to be like these druggies. I just want life abundant. I want what you have to offer. And I opened myself up to Jesus. And that's all I can say. I just said, Lord, I want your life. And he gave it to me. Now, I knew enough that I was going to have to be different. And so I remembered there was this tiny Brethren in Christ Church in San Francisco. And so I went over on Sunday morning, and it was crazy. Because I knew there were people. I mean, I grew up in the Brethren in Christ, right? So I knew what the Brethren in Christ liked. They were people who didn't believe in war, and there were people who went to alternative service. In fact, there was a friend of mine from high school was actually in this Brethren in Christ church doing his alternative service. So I put on my uniform thinking, you know, I got to demonstrate that I'm in the military. And I went over, and what happened? They loved me. They invited me for lunch. And there's no big issues. They just loved on me. And I had the best of both worlds. Here's what happened. On the base, I got involved in the Navigators. And we memorized scripture. And I fell in love with the Bible. And then I'd go to church, and the Brethren in Christ is a Lifeline Mission. And they had wonderful Christian fellowship. They just embraced me and loved me. And I would say this today. If you're a new Christian, or if you sort of have been reluctant to be involved, I want to tell you two things. The best thing for you is to get in the Bible, read the Bible, come to this church, because you're going to get loved. And that'll change your life. Grace is always coming to you for your good. You may not know it, you may not understand it, but grace is always coming to you for your good. Now, you may say to me, well, some people are not receiving grace. Some people that you know, maybe a family member, somebody you work with, they have nothing to do with Christianity. They may be resistant to Christianity. And I would say, that's okay. That's okay. Grace is always coming to you for your good, even when you're resistant. Let me say that again. Grace is always coming to you for your good, even when you're resistant. Now, just think about the story I told. I was resistant, and yet the Holy Spirit broke through. And you know people who are resistant. You know, they may have no desire for Jesus. They would not come to you to church, and that's okay. Just keep loving them. Just keep sharing Jesus with them, because grace is always working. It's always working for your good, and it's always working for you, even when you're resistant. Now, I'm a slow learner, but I learned this in my first church. And my first church was the little inner city church in Des Moines, Iowa. And Winnie and I moved out there. There was 20 people in the church, and the church was this old building that they had built on top of a spring. And it was about two blocks from the river, and whenever the river would rise, the spring would kick in. And so Sunday mornings, I'd have to go down there and vacuum the water out just so we could have Sunday school, right? It was a little church and struggling. And so I thought, we got to do something. We've got to reach our community, right? So we tried knocking on doors, but I'm going to tell you something. In Iowa, it gets cold in the winter. There's got to be a better way. So I connected with this guy in California named Norm Juan, and he was an insurance agent, and he was making a lot of money by selling over the phone. So he taught me how to do a little presentation. So we came up with a very simple system. We got the phone book out, and we would call everybody in our community, and we would say something like this: "Hi, I'm from Oak Park Church, and we're really having a great time at Oak Park. God is doing some really great things for us, and we would just like to know, want you to know that we're in the community, and if you want any information about our church, we'd be glad to send it to you. Could we send that to you?" And of course, a lot of people said no, but some people said yes. And then we would send them about five different mailings over 5 weeks, and then we had a celebration service. We'd send them a special invitation for them to come. So it was a very simple process, but I want to tell you, it took a lot of work. So we set up this phone bank in the basement where we called people from, and we had this phone bank, and then we had some tables where we would have the information. And then some people would make phone calls, some people would put labels on the envelopes and stamps. I mean, it was the old system, but it worked, okay? So we're there hard at work one night and making phone calls, and this guy walks in. His name was Bill. He said, "I'm a retired police officer, and when I was a police officer, I always wanted to know what was happening in my community. So I just want to know, what are you guys doing? You're making all these phone calls. What are you doing?" So I said, "Well, Bill, let me tell you." So I said, "Well, you know, we make these phone calls. We send this information. Then we're going to have a celebration service and invite people to church." And Bill looked at me and he said, "I'm not a Christian. I don't have any interest in being a Christian. And I want you to know, I'm not going to be a Christian." And he walked out. Okay. So, one down, right? But let me remind you, grace is always coming to you for your good, even when you're resistant. So, next week, we're doing the same thing. It takes about 5 weeks to call through our neighborhood. We're still calling away. And Bill comes in. And Bill says, "I'm retired. I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. You have a pot of coffee on. You have people, you know, do you mind if I would hang around a little bit?" He said, "I'm not going to make any of those phone calls, but I could put some labels on and some of those stamps. I could do that for you." Well, I said, "Bill, that would be great." You see what's happening? We have an unbeliever helping us do evangelism. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? So Bill's over there working away for a couple nights. One night he comes over to me and says, "Pastor, you see this label?" I go, "Yeah." He says, "I know this person. This person will not come to your church, so don't waste your stamp. Don't waste your envelope. Just forget it." And I go, "Well, Bill, she said she'd like the information, so just go ahead and send it." He goes, "Pastor, you don't understand. I know this lady. This lady's hard as nails. She's not going to come to your church." And I said, "Well, Bill, just send it to her. It'll be fine." And he said, no, Pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you, this lady's not going to darken the door of any church. She won't come to your church. She won't go in any church. She is not going to come to church. I guarantee it." And I said, "Well, Bill, just go ahead and send it to her." And Bill says, "Okay, it would take a miracle for her to come to your church. If she comes to your church, I'll come to your church too." So we sent the information out. So Celebration Sunday comes, and Bill shows up, and he's in the back, in the corner, and he's looking out the window and just sort of waiting there. And the service starts. He's still back there. And he's looking out the window, and he just watches. And a few minutes later, here comes this lady walking in. And she walks in the church, and I I didn't know who she was. Never seen her before. She sits in the very back pew, and we do the service, and I get ready to do the benediction. This lady gets up and walks out. Well, after the service, Bill comes up to me, and he says, "It was a miracle. That was the lady I told you about. She actually came." So he said, "I guess I got to come too." Well, Bill and this lady starts coming every Sunday. Now, the lady was a police officer. She would only be there every other week. But they both attended. Bill came to give his life to Jesus. He was baptized. We started a Bible study in his home. And he had retired because he had been wounded. And he had some medical problems. And something happened. Bill died. And I did Bill's funeral. And I was able to talk about grace there with all his buddies from the police department. And he received full police honors. And I'm thinking, here's a guy who grace was coming to. He didn't know it. But finally he opened up his life and received it. Now, the good news is that the lady, she accepted Christ too. But that's a whole different story. I just want you to know this. Grace is coming to you. Would you say that with me? Grace is coming to you. Grace is always coming to you. Say it with me. Grace is always coming to you. Grace is always coming to you, even when you're resistant. Say that with me. Grace is always coming with you, even when you're resistant. Isn't that amazing? Now, the question is, how do you receive it? How do you receive this grace? Well, the fact is, all you have to do is open your life. But you'll find it's basically very simple. It's ABC. One, you have to be aware of God's grace and just accept it. Just know that you need it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Just to recognize you need God's grace. You need something beyond yourself. So accept it. Then believe. If you look at 1 Peter, those verses you read, he says, you haven't seen, but you believe. You have to believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And just put your faith in him. You may not understand it all. That's okay. Just believe him. And then confess your faith. Now, as a young believer, I knew as soon as I said yes to Jesus, I had to confess my faith. But the Bible says, now, for with the mouth, with the heart, we believe and are justified. That's what happened to Martin Luther. He recognized that it's a righteousness that doesn't belong to us. It comes to us from God, so we have to receive it. So we receive God's righteousness, and then with our mouth, we confess and are saved. Wow. This morning, I just want to say, wherever you are, grace is coming to you for your good. God's at work in your life. You may not see it. You may not feel it. You may feel abandoned. Wherever you're at this morning, just recognize this, that 1 Peter says that the prophets prophesied that grace was coming. They didn't understand it all, but they understood that it was for you. It's for you. It's for me. God's grace is always coming to us. Now, we're going to sing a song, and then Winnie and I are going to just hang out up here. If you would, Winnie's my wife, if you would like to talk or pray, if you have any need, spiritual, physical, healing, whatever, we'll here just to talk with you and pray for you. But let's pray together. Then our worship team will come. Father, I thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us this wonderful grace and peace in our life. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help us to open ourselves anew to you in a wider way, to say, yes, I want your grace. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want it in my life. So, Father, would you bless these people with abundant grace and peace. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen.